Well, hi, it's Casey Truffel, and I'm here with Lori Schwanbeck, and we're really excited to talk with Lori today because she's one of our conference speakers on our VIP faculty, and I really wanted to speak with Lori because I know about her experience with mindfulness, and I know that she has a lot to share with us. Hi, Lori.
Hi, Casey. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I'm just so excited to be speaking with you. Now, I know your topic is going to be called Sense and Sensibility, Using Sensory-Based Mindfulness Practices to Balance Emotions. I'm going to read that again. Sense and Sensibility, Using Sensory-Based Mindfulness Practices to Balance Emotions. That's quite a mouthful. Can you tell us more about what that means?
So, yes, it is a mouthful. And I'm sure that many people are familiar with mindfulness and all of the research that's come out recently on the efficacy of mindfulness as a treatment in clinical work. I became interested in sensory-based mindfulness practices mostly through experiences in my own life. And I'll share a little story with you. I was dog sledding up in Canada some years ago, and I had been kind of in a funky mood earlier in the day. I had conflict with my sister, and I was kind of ruminating in my mind about just how frustrated I was with her. And I had this experience while I was dog sledding of just the crispness of the snow and the smell of the wet dog fur and just the beauty of the falling snow and pine trees around me. And as I really dropped into the moment with mindful awareness and was really enriched by this intense sensory experience, I found that I could not access the negative affect that I felt earlier in the day about the conflict I had with my sister. I actually tried to do it because I got curious, like, how come I'm feeling so good right now? And how come I can't access this negative feeling? So I became very curious about what was going on internally, just as I became very present with my senses and the effect that had on my emotions.
What a fantastic story. Now, can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
How long were you in that moment experience with all of that sensory input?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know if I can really answer it. I think that at that time, it was several years ago, it was probably about a good half an hour into the experience where my consciousness became aware. So, you know, probably, I'm imagining if I would have paid attention earlier, I would have noticed a mood shift. But there is such a marked shift that my consciousness said, hey, pay attention to this. About half an hour in. Now, since that time, I've done a lot of research on mindfulness and the impact of sensory stimulation on the brain and the effect that has on the limbic system, and have found, both through my research and in my own personal and clinical use, that it doesn't take a half an hour for that to happen.
Boy, so, what good news.
Yes. Fascinating.
And what's really fascinating to me is that you couldn't recreate it.
That I can't or I can recreate it?
No, what I meant with you, the time with your sister, when you were feeling that discomfort,
right.
I mean, it seems to me that in some ways our bodies and our minds are habitual in a way, and it would easily go back to that place where you were ruminating, but it didn't.
Exactly. I was actually fascinated by it. And I don't know if you have ever done this where you try and click and drag a file on your computer and put it somewhere, but it won't kind of attach there. It bounces back.
Yes, that's a great metaphor.
That's what it felt like in my brain. I was trying to access this negative mood state, and I couldn't. Now, having said that, you know, I've worked with some clients who get quite easily emotionally dysregulated and have a difficult time with rumination. And that internal process is a little bit more difficult to break through. So it's not like this is true for everybody that they can't access the negative state. But the more we reinforce the positive mood state and the more we deepen into the senses, it's actually much more difficult to engage in the thought looping and rumination.
How interesting is that?
It's fascinating, and it's a lot of fun.
Now, have you studied NLP at all?
You know, I haven't. And the more I learn about NLP and even some of the EMDR or some of the other, the thought field therapy and different types of therapy that involve sensory stimulation, it makes me curious about just the overlap in all of these fields. And what I kind of stumbled upon one day when dog sledding, I think is something that is integrated in a lot of different types of therapy.
Uh-huh. I agree with you. I really do. You know, sometimes we need discrete names for things where in many ways, it you know, the concept goes in many different types of things that we name.
That's right. And because I'm a mindfulness practitioner and very interested in the study of consciousness, I'm very, very fascinated and interested in the world of sensory stimulation and beauty. My way of naming it is a little different than, say, EMDR or NLP, but I do think that they draw upon similar mechanisms in our nervous system.
That is so great. Well, so we're going to be spending 55 minutes where you're going to be sharing this information with us.
Great. I'm excited.
Me too. So when we leave your presentation, what will we be taking with us? Will we be taking with us some techniques we could try with ourselves and our clients? Will it be more of a conceptual kind of thing? What are we leaving with?
Well, there's going to be a couple of things that I'm hoping that you'll leave with, Casey. First of all is an understanding of mindfulness and just the power that mindfulness has in changing our internal psyche and our physiology. So I'll be talking a little bit about that. And I'll be emphasizing sensory-based mindfulness primarily, again, because I think that it's a fascinating way of changing the brain. And also, it's a type of mindfulness that is very effective to use with clients who tend to dissociate, because when we give something tangible for our minds to focus on instead of just kind of going into an internal quiet process, it can help people who tend to dissociate. So I think it's incredibly practical to use with clients. It's very helpful to use with ourselves when we become dysregulated ourselves in session. And I'm also hoping that it will inspire people to get engaged with the world around them, and in so doing, open up more possibility for pleasure and mood-enhancing experiences in life.
You have a great job. If that's what you do all day long is help people to do that, you have a great, great job.
Well, I feel pretty blessed.
Well, for those of you who haven't heard Lori speak, you're really in for a treat. This is going to be a great, great time. So I'm very, very excited that you're going to be here, and we're looking forward to learning a little bit more. Now, is there any homework that we should do before hearing you speak, Lori?
Pay attention to what comes through your senses. Start to notice the sense of smell, the sense of touch, and what it's feel like in your emotional being when you hear a bird sing. So start to pay attention to just how your sensory input affects your mood.
That's wonderful. That's great advice. Thank you. And for those of you that are listening to this on the recording, Lori will be speaking Tuesday, April 21st, 2009 at 1:30 Pacific, and that's 4:30 Eastern. And we're very excited, and we look forward to hearing more. Thank you, Lori.
Thanks, Casey.
Take care.